So anyway, Steve Ogden joining us today. Okay, and what that story is about is obviously the groups that are over there are raising signs and talking about stuff, and it's all tied to the Rainy Day Fund, that little account that we've got over there to help us out of these tough times that we're in right now. So what's this week's report on the Rainy Day Fund?
Well, there's multiple reports on it. You know, that Rainy Day Fund is going to be $9.2 billion, and thank God we've got it. I mean, when we saw that... When we were writing the budget 2 years ago, we said we can't spend any of this rainy day fund because things might get worse before they get better, and thank goodness we have it. But this week, there was, in my opinion, a sort of a contrived issue, but it is what it is. And the House spent or is going to appropriate $3.2 billion out of the rainy day fund to fund the current biennial deficit, which is $4.2 billion. And the difference between $4.2 and $3.2 is going to be realized in budget cuts. So a combination of budget cuts and rainy day spending will pay for the current biennial deficit. And there was a lot of political rhetoric back and forth, which was just rhetoric. The reality is we had to do it. We had no choice. there wasn't an option, even though people play like there was.
made for good press, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if made for good press. I guess. I'm not in that business. But the secondary issue about the Rainy Day Fund is what are you going to do with the rest of it?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's two sub-issues around that. One is that it requires a different type of majority to spend the rest of the Rainy Day Fund. The Rainy Day Fund of $3.2 billion that will be appropriated by the House next week requires a 60% vote in both houses, 60%. Any additional spending out of the Rainy Day Fund requires a two-thirds vote, 66%. So the numbers change a little bit. And the second thing is that I don't know how much of that Rainy Day Fund we're going to need to spend. I'm pretty sure it's going to be some of it, but we really haven't decided yet on how much of how big a budget we're going to be able to write in the Texas Senate. And until we know how much we need to spend, I can't say how much we're going to have to use to pay for it.
We're continuing to hear more about different cuts. What are we able to say to public school teachers, administrators, and parents of students right now?
I think we're going to have some pretty encouraging news out of the Senate next week. The subcommittee on education in the on the Finance Committee yesterday recommending adding $6 billion to the Foundation School Program, which will substantially reduce the size of the cuts that are currently on the table. In fact, it'll reduce them by half. And I think that is going to be an unexpected but note of encouragement. And what I believe will happen is when they see what we're going to do in the Senate, the people in the schools will be able to relax a little bit.
They'll like that. Steve Ogden joining us this morning. You know, there are a couple of ways to change things in Texas. One is to take things through the legislature and pass them. Others are to bring them before the people of Texas. Constitutional amendments are the way to do that, and you're working on two or three of those.
Yeah, four.
Four, okay.
We don't have a process called initiative and referendum in Texas, and, you know, a few years ago there was a lot of motion to basically allow the people to petition the legislature and then put things on the ballot, and it lost a lot of steam, but we have pretty close substitute, and that is that our Constitution is so wordy and so complicated, almost any change in Texas requires a change in the Constitution. So our version of initiative and referendum, in my opinion, is constitutional amendment. And what we're looking at is several constitutional amendments, one dealing with a gasoline tax, one dealing with overhauling the business tax, overhauling school finance, and the smallest one, but the one that seemed to have gotten the most attention was allowing all school children access to free textbooks.
Well, let's do it. Because you got four of them, we don't have time to do all four today. I'd like to start with the first one you mentioned, because that's going to impact most all of us, and that is a change in the gas tax.
Yeah, the that's a political four-letter word.
Yeah.
And so my job is to try to clean up the language and explain and to kind of explain what I'm talking about. But over the last 6 years, Texas has used bonds to build a lot of highways, and there's been a lot of construction here in Brazos County that's been paid for with bond proceeds. The one that's most significant is the $100 million in improvements south of College Station down to Navasota. That was a bonded project.
Okay.
And the voters have given us permission to do this, but what is happening now is that paying the debt service on the bonds is gobbling up, in my opinion, too much of the current gasoline tax revenue. So we have to pay the debt service on the bonds, but then as a result, there's no money left to do highway maintenance or highway improvements because the money's going to debt service. So what I'm proposing on a constitutional amendment, and I think I can get it out of the Senate, is giving the legislature the authority to appropriate or to levy a gasoline tax increase not to exceed 5 cents to pay the debt service on bonds. And it's not a lot different than school districts getting permission from the voters to raise property taxes to pay for the bonded indebtedness for the new school. I think there's better than a 50-50 chance that we can get it out of the legislature, and better than a 50-50 chance that Texans can vote on it. But what I was saying in finance yesterday was whether Texans agree with it or vote against it, either answer is fine with me. At least we put a potential solution on the ballot, and then we're going to let Texans decide whether they like that solution or not. And if they like that solution, we'll keep bonding projects and building highways. And if they don't like that solution, we'll stop. But at least it's a question that needs to be answered.
Yeah, that way y'all aren't voting on it. The people are. And if you can get those costs down before Election Day for prices of gas, then they might feel better about it if they go to vote, right?
Well, I don't have much to do with that. Yeah, maybe the price of gas will come down, and that'll help them vote for it.
Exactly. That's the idea. We better do that. We better not be at $4 a gallon gas on Election Day, or we'll have a problem. Hey, what's going to happen between now and next week that's important that folks need to know about?
Well, the most important thing is I think, there's two things. I think the House is going to be sending their appropriations bill to the House floor for discussion and debate, which will probably be up week after next. And that will be a Donnybrook. Even though there's been a lot of rhetoric about what the governor's going to do and not, and when that bill gets on the floor, it's going to be several days of debate before they're able to get something over to the Senate. So that's the big issue that's coming. Over in the Senate, we're going to begin markup of basically making decisions on what kind of budget the Senate wants to approve. And secondly, this was pretty big news yesterday. Monday, I'm appointing a subcommittee on fiscal matters, and they've been tasked with finding, quote, $5 billion in non-tax revenue and other savings with which to balance the budget. $5 billion.
Who's going to head that up?
Robert Duncan from Lubbock.
Okay, all right.
And that's going to generate a lot of interest and a lot of press, because we're going to start laying out ways to balance the budget with additional revenue or additional cuts, and none of them will be controversial, but some of them are going to be without controversy, but some of them are going to be pretty creative, and I think may work.
All right, that'll make news, that's for sure. All right, we'll talk to you next week, Steve. Thanks.
Okay, see you.
Yeah, bye. It's Steve Ogden joining us from Bryan.